Welcome to God, Sex, and You, a daily discipleship podcast on healthy sexuality. Here's your host, Purity Pastor Dustin Daniels.
We wrap up our study today on being made perfect in purity. We started off in the Old Testament by defining what purity really is. We then studied Proverbs 5, 6, and 7, and we heard the tenderness of our Heavenly Father. And then we moved to the New Testament, and we looked at the amazing story of Jesus and the woman who was caught in adultery. And now we get to see how all of this comes together in an amazing conclusion. I mentioned several days ago that Jesus knows the pain and he knows the shame that goes with sexual sin. Today we learn how he did that. In today's podcast, we'll learn, number one, why Jesus is called the Lamb of God, who is the only one who can take away sin. Number two, why Jesus bled from seven places for our lack of purity. And number three, what a lesson, what a message like this should drive us to do in response to hearing the message. Today's lesson is titled, The Seven Places That Will Set You Free.
And it brings us back to Proverbs 7:2. Keep my commandments and live. And live again. And be healed. Do you guys see the same tenderness that was written in Proverbs 5, 6, and 7 and how it was lived out in the life of Jesus? Do you see how they're not two separate things, but they're integrated? And here's the thing. This woman, she had no idea that this man standing in front of her was getting ready to pay the ultimate price to go to Calvary for her sexual sin. See, Jesus, he's the Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world. Jesus, this unblemished, this undefiled Son of Man. Jesus, this man who has nothing mixed in. He's pure and he's perfect and it's what we're supposed to be. But the problem is that we're not. And it's because we're not that Jesus is called the Lamb of God and he had to be slain. He had to be slain to make us pure. The prophet Isaiah writes about Jesus 500 to 700 years before Jesus was born. And he says this, many were amazed when they saw him. His face was so disfigured, he seemed hardly human. And from his appearance, one would scarcely know that he was a man. Did you guys know that Jesus bled from seven specific places on his body? If you know anything about the Bible, the number seven is the number of perfection. And I would like us to go into a time of reflection for a few moments. When it comes to purity, we're going to focus in on the grace of Almighty God in speaking to us in this subject, and yet at the same time, we need to look in the rearview mirror of our own life. The first place that Jesus bled from was his head. The Roman soldiers knew that he was called the King of the Jews, so instead of giving them a crown of gold, jewels, they thought it'd be pretty funny to go and create some type of crown of thorns. And they just didn't put it on Jesus' head. They beat it onto his head. And Jesus bled from his head. I want us to think about all the things that maybe we couldn't face up to, the things that we're scared to address right now. I want us to think about all the things that we've thought about in the past, all the fantasies, all the things that maybe we have seen that we should have never seen, all the things that we said that we should have never said, or heard that we should have never heard. Dear friends, I want you to know that Jesus Christ bled from his back. And you're forgiven. Blood from his head, and you're forgiven. The second place is his back. After they got done mocking him and spitting on him and making fun of him, they thought it would be really fun to go out and tie him to a pole, and they took what's called a flagellum. And it's a whip. It's a leather whip, and it has different lengths of leather straps, and it's got zinc and metal in it. And the sole purpose, it's a torture device for one thing, and that is to rip the skin off the back of its victim. I want us to think about all the times that we have turned our back on God, all the times that we have turned our back on our spouse and on our family and our commitments and our engagements, and all the times that we said, you know what, you can't tell me what to do. I'm going this way. I'm turning my back on everybody. Dear friends, Jesus Christ bled from his back, and you're forgiven. The third and fourth places that Jesus bled from was his hands. Back then, part of your hands was your wrist, so they took two spikes and they put it in the wrist of Jesus. And they pinned him to a tree very similar to this. Can you imagine the pain? I want you to think about all the different times that you've used your hands. Maybe you touched someone you were never supposed to touch. Maybe you touched yourself inappropriately. Maybe you're clicking the mouse and looking at pornography. Maybe you grabbed someone in anger. Maybe you struck someone. Jesus Christ bled from his hands, and you're forgiven. The fifth and sixth places Jesus bled from was his feet. They took one spike and nailed it to the cross. So now he can barely breathe as he's on this cross. I want you to think about how many times that you've walked away from things that you weren't supposed to walk away from. How many times that you've run into the arms of an adulteress because you couldn't deal with the pain of your life. My life is exhibit A on that. And dear friends, Jesus bled from his feet as well. The last place was his side. After Jesus willingly died, he willingly gave his spirit. Nobody took it from him. He did that. A Roman soldier takes a spear and thrusts it into the side of Jesus, and it goes into his lungs and his heart, and outpours water and blood. Fulfilling prophecy, he ushers in this New Testament, this thing called grace that we've been talking about this morning. It also means another thing. Blood and water mean he's dead. That's what you get with an autopsy, blood and water. This man is dead and on that cross. And if that weren't enough, they take him down and they bury him. And 3 days later, he has the audacity to walk out of his own grave. He did what he said he was going to do. He conquers sin and death. And guys, ladies, now you're forgiven and you're free by the blood of Jesus. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. There is no forgiveness. Hebrews 12:2 says this, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He despised the shame, and he seated at the right hand of the Father. This idea of despising the shame, Jesus was crucified completely naked. Most of the pictures that we see, he's covered, but he was the Romans, they didn't care. Think about the disgrace, the disgust. And Jesus himself bore that shame, that embarrassment. There was no clothing to protect Jesus from that. So he can identify with what we're talking about. There was not a shred of decency. And at the end of the day, guys, because of what Jesus did, it means that your sin has no value. And if your sin has no value, it means you have it has, doesn't have any power over you either. We get all locked up in what we're getting ready to do and why we can't serve and why we can't give. I just want to free you up this morning and focus on those words, the loving words from Proverbs 5, 6, and 7, Jesus' words, neither do I. Guys, you were made perfect in purity, perfect by the blood of Jesus. Pray with me. Father, we just want to come to you now in a time of reflection, a time of confession, a time of repentance. But most of all, Lord God, we want to come to you in a time of worship, because worship is the only thing that we can do in response to making us perfect in your purity. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Worship is indeed the only thing that we can do when we see and feel the weight and the gravity of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in our lives. Amen? To worship and just be grateful and thankful, it's all we can do. To worship God for who He is, to bring Him glory. And I love preaching that message because as I go through those seven places, I have this amazing privilege of really having a front row seat to watch the Lord set people free by the power of the Holy Spirit. And people's eyes begin to well up with tears, and God lets them know that they are indeed not only forgiven, but they are free. So how about you? Have you come to the place where the chains have been broken and you're not carrying around this baggage of sexual sin anymore? And if not, why? Do you not think it's possible? Do you think that message is for everybody but you? Or is it that you still love your sin too much? So here's a question. Do you know why you love your sin? Because it's much more than just feeling good for a short period of time. And this question, I actually address this issue in my new 35-day audio devotional. It's called The Sex Spiral. It's 13 going on 14 years of my recovery with the Lord, my walking with the Lord, something that you can experience in just over a month. And it specifically addresses the habit, the bondage, the addiction to pornography. Why can't you stop? Here's the cool thing. I designed this series as an individual study, because I know the embarrassment, the shame to go ask for help or go into a bookstore or even wanting to go to Amazon to buy something. This is an individual study. This could literally be the first chapter into your life of being sexually pure, learning what sexual integrity looks like, and then remaining sexually sober. So check it out. All you have to do is do what you're doing now. You're listening to a 15 to 20 minute podcast. You would simply do that only with notes and a much greater purpose for the next 35 days. So in just over a month, you're going to learn God's design for sex, marriage, and the family. You're also going to learn the triggers that lead to porn addiction. It's like a roadmap. You got to figure out where you are. And once you figure out where you are, then you can learn how to exit the spiral itself. So let me encourage you to order it today. Go to dustindaniels.org, click on store. You can also receive a 20% discount with the promotional code podcast. Well, thank you so much for listening to God, Sex, and You. I'm Dustin Daniels. You can follow me on Twitter at @PurityPastor and email me your questions. I would love to hear from you. Just visit dustindaniels.org. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 4:20 that the kingdom of God isn't just a lot of talk. It's living in God's power. It's living with God It's walking with Him moment by moment, talking with Him throughout the day. It's that power that's in the very name and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And I pray that you walk worthy today as you cling to Him. I love you, and I look forward to our time again tomorrow.